satisfy you.
Welcome to Knotcast, episode 293.
Got it. Keep going, believe it. Fuck it, we're doing it live.
Ears aren't the only thing long on a finnick.
Umar.
I'm your host, Severin.
I'm Fuzz Wolf.
I'm terrified.
And she was not here because she's a girl.
No girls allowed.
Well, you're here, Keo, so obviously we cannot have Shiva around. That's the rule. Either you're here or she's not.
We'll be discussing sissification, and that's why Keo's here.
Yep.
Wow.
Because Keo's a bitch.
No. All right, I'll stop using the voice for now. That's actually kind of hard to do for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I read this fic today from a YouTube channel. You should check it out, justafox.com. It's my YouTube. It redirects my YouTube channel. I'm all fucking futuristic and shit. Or it's like this Diamond Dog warlord, right?
Welcome to the future!
And so, like, I use that voice and then alternate between being very serene and then...
The very non-sad voice here.
Oh, we should do, like, a sex scene between the Diamond Dog and Snarf. I'll write the dialogue for us. You're like,
oh, show me that knot. Oh, you take the knot, little, you're whatever you are. Snarf, snarf. Are you some sort of Pokemon? Whatever, take the knot, bitch.
He took it all. Why did he take it all?
Now give me crystals.
Crystals.
God. What a start.
Let's do a line and call it a day.
Wow, Knotcast did a pony radio play this week. It was really scary.
It was rapey.
Oh, no. They're consenticals. Get it right.
What? Consenticals?
Yes.
So it's not Jared's browser history, then?
No.
Okay.
Facial expressions don't convey, but I gave Keo a look of horror going, what? Right.
We're not discussing struggle snuggles.
No.
The struggle snuggle is real.
Y'all made it back from MFM in one piece.
Allegedly.
Yeah, it's not in Memphis anymore, so we don't have to, like, outrun knives.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing, like, fucking ninjas throwing knives as we drive by.
Hey, remember that one time we were driving back from AC and that big old rock? We got a rock.
You were driving my car with Tieran.
Oh, okay.
But I remember looking at my windshield the next day when the car got back.
And we were like, yeah, Memphis tried to stab us as we were leaving.
Yeah. Failed to get the knives in, so it was like, fuck you, rock fling. Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys went to MFM. How'd that go? Are you looking for the sad trombone sound there, Fuzz?
No. God, we're going to say nice things about MFM. Well, I am. I can't speak for Keo. Keo's views do not reflect those of Knotcast. So, yeah, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but like, I hadn't been intending to go to MFM, or we'll just call it MEFIT, it's easier to say. But I'd been toying with it in the back of my head, and then Thursday... I was like, hey, Tieran, I'm thinking of going to MEFIT this weekend. Really? Oh. And he was surprised because I hadn't mentioned it before. I was like, yeah. He's like, I'll treat it as a vacation, get out of town. And then I was like, hey, Keo, want to go to MFM? And as I pointed out at the time, Keo's used to last-minute con decisions.
I do that sometimes.
So he was totally down with it. We shared a room. And oddly took separate cars, but it worked out better for us because I was driving there from downtown where I was working and you were in North Dallas where you were living and you got off like 2 hours earlier than I did.
Then I got to listen to musicals for 7 straight hours.
And I was like, yeah, I don't think Keo wants to listen to my Swedish murder mystery for 8 hours.
Why not?
I was listening to the audiobook of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, see, I actually enjoyed that one.
Oh, really?
Damn, we should have rode together.
You just listened to Into the Woods like a billion times.
Yeah, I did.
Woods being the name of this fox that we picked up at the con. Yep.
I brought him home to snuggle and cuddle and stab and rip his organs out and sell them on black market.
Yay, student loans paid off.
Yes.
So,
one way to do it.
I got there at around 11 o'clock Friday night and checked into the room, which was a nice room. Saturday, I got up around noonish. I wasn't in a particular rush because I wasn't dealing this con. And I had an okay day. I don't know. What did I do during the day on Saturday? I don't even remember. I remember Saturday night.
Well.
Fuck. I honestly don't remember. I mean, maybe I ate something at some point. I did go to the orange room and I bought you remember the Taipan series from back in the day. They've started to release compendiums of some of the early ones. So volume one has issues 1 and 2 plus bonus material. And since like my Taipan collection is really sort of slapshod, I've got like an issue here, an issue there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a complete set or anything like that, but I figured, hey, you know, like a bunch of material all at once, I can actually read these stories and kind of get them. And, it's actually very well laid out. The typesetting is really good because the guy that's the editor of it has a real hard on for typesetting. Kind of like I do. So it's like, it's not shitty and amateur looking. It actually
appreciate a good font.
I do. Yeah. Good fontal.
Full fontal.
Yes. Full fontal typography.
Oh, baby.
You know, I'm going to drop these caps and then drop my balls in your mouth. Oh, yeah. Helvetica, the porno movie.
Probably porn of that.
No,
the serifs on or off? Off, please. Too bad. Times New Roman.
It's
bitch.
A bondage film now.
What's your favorite position? Fully justified. Oh, yeah.
Wingdings.
That's going to be my safe word if I ever get into BDSM. Wingdings. So I picked that up, and that accounts for about 6 hours, I guess, because I'm serious, dude. Maybe I have like early onset Alzheimer's.
Oh, no, you were hanging up in Rahata's room most of the day.
But that wasn't till the evening, right?
No, you were sitting up there for like most of the day chatting with him and Raven.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right, yeah. So I spent a lot of time hanging out, and actually Rahata covers some of it. Actually, I might as well just read Rahata's con report at one point because it covers about 20 hours of what I did at the con. But the funny thing was that I never do this when I'm dealing because I'm usually in bed by 11, wake up at like 7 in order to get ready and go deal. But I was up all fucking night on Saturday and then didn't set my alarm. So I went to bed at 5:30 and then I woke up at 5:30, roughly.
Nice.
I slept all of Sunday. Keo, bless his heart, came back to the room just to see if I was dead or not.
I mean, I had to make sure he wasn't dead, because I think if he was dead, I would come home and then I would be dead, because I'm pretty sure Tyrion would kill me. What happened? You didn't check on him all day. You didn't think there was anything weird about Fuzz being asleep until 6 o'clock at night? Nah. I was drinking.
You were having too much fun, and I thought Fuzz was too.
I guess I was just that tired or something. I don't know, but
I just love the response I got from him. I was like, Fuzz, wake up. Huh? What? Wake up, Fuzz. What? Oh, I just want to make sure you weren't dead. No, I'm fine. What time is it? 6 at night?
You gotta be clear about these things.
went to bed at 5:30 and he woke you up half an hour later.
Yeah. 12 and a half hours later. And then we went out to dinner at Mellow Mushroom on Sunday night. Pizza place, yes. Which, I don't know if they have one here somewhere.
They have two?
Okay. Another kind of few and far between. They had one back in Florida when I lived there. It's like a small chain, I guess. And that was good. But overall, I had a pretty good time. There, I will say their writing track really needs some help. There were only 3 writing panels, and the same person was on them, and she was the only person on them. So, like, this one person was the writing track head and the sole panelist. So,
did they tell you a story?
No. Told us about their small press imprint out of Memphis. But I don't know if, like, maybe panels aren't a big deal anymore. I don't know if there'd be demand for it there. But the old writing track head's kind of retired from it. And, yeah, they probably need a little help there. I didn't see a whole lot of the con, really. Saw the Dior's room. We had ice cream. I mean, overall, I enjoyed it because I had no expectations. I wasn't selling. And I actually got to hang out with a few friends that I don't see very often. So that was nice. And it was fairly chill and low pressure. So what's... your experience. What did you do during the 12 hours I was asleep, Gail?
Well, I drank. Well,
like, that'd be during the day, but hey, it's a con.
Yeah. I don't know. The con was pretty chill. Mostly I just kind of wandered around and hung out with people and ogled over guys and such. I think my biggest highlight for the weekend was, the fucking Earl Grey martinis made from gin.
Yeah.
The gin Earl Grey martinis, that's what it was. That had dry ice in them, so they smoked.
Yeah. Did I tweet a picture of that? I think I did.
I know somebody did.
Yeah, I tweeted a picture of it. And drinking very carefully when it's shrunk down so that it doesn't, like, burn your lips.
Oh, see, it was, like, a danger tactic. I just wanted to see if I could burn myself. But, yeah, no. That was the really fun part. I was kind of disappointed with the lack of people there. Their attendance went down again this year.
Mm-hmm. It was 432, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Mm. And, like, their attendance has been dropping steadily over the past few years. They have giant gaps of things they need to fix in their, if they want to stay being a convention and not lose, like, their shit. Because, like, their music track is a joke. Like, a joke, honestly.
What's the music track? I mean, you mean, like, the dances?
Like, the dances and all the stuff with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, MFM's never had, like, a dance anyone gave a shit about, but, like, every time I'd walk past their dances that they had going on, there'd be, like, 2 people on the dance floor, maybe? And they had to cancel their dance competition.
Really? Oh, that's too bad.
Like, what?
That's kind of sad.
Yeah,
they just didn't have enough fursuiters to do it?
No, they just didn't care. They had plenty of fursuiters. I think they had 99 fursuiters there.
Yeah, but a bitch ain't wanting.
Yeah, like, no one gave any shits about the music track. Their panels were widely unattended, as per MFM tradition.
Mm.
And
yeah, I should have mentioned the one writing panel I went to. There was 4 people in it, including me.
Yeah. So their panels were... Their dealer's den is way too fucking big for the size of the convention. Like, it's sad, because it's like, on one hand, they have a good dealer's den. They had a lot of really good dealers in there. Mm-hmm. But there was way too many of them. So the dealer's den constantly looked really, really fucking empty. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay. And every time I went in there, it just looked really empty. They need to shrink the size of their dealer's den significantly. The con's really spread out over the small space they have, which makes it kind of hard to find stuff because their signage was, like, not to be seen. And I'm pretty sure that they had, like, 2 security people for the entire convention, so that was fun.
Mm. I noticed that when I was trying to find the panel room for the writing panel, that I went upstairs and I just looked for the name of the panel room on the hotel's official signing. But there wasn't, like, an MFM sign saying, panel room such and such this way.
They don't even label them by panel room, like, things. They just name them by the room that they're in. Like, it'll say, like, mahogany.
Yeah.
Or, like, birch. I'm like, that's not really that helpful. Oh, you can look at the hotel map. Well, How about you just put a sign up that says, hey, this is where this thing is?
Yeah, the branding is important to kind of show that you're there. Although I did like to do all the banners that people were drawing on this year. That was at least, they put like that paper that's yeah. sort of a big strand up on the walls. And like, lots of ponies. People
would draw ponies. They encourage people to draw everywhere. On the walls.
Yes.
Nice. Pretty much. And like their charity, the stuff they did for charity seemed kind of like, blah, it's there, but who really cares? Which was reflected in their charity numbers, which were kind of low. Like, the convention has potential to be a good thing, but I think they need some new blood to come into the convention and help out, because it's just kind of, I don't know, it seems like it's stagnated, which isn't so good. And, like, lots of people that came back from the con that I talked to, they were just like, well, the con was all right, but it was disappointing, you know, that there was no one there and that nothing seemed organized, so...
Yeah.
But overall, I had a really good time from what I had while I was there, because the people that were there gave me, like, awesome parties, and I had really good hangouts.
It's kind of the thing. I mean, even the parties subpar, or not the con subpar, the parties make up for it.
Yeah, I mean, you have
you to... You didn't go there for the con, you went there for the people.
Yeah, pretty much. And, I mean, MFM's always been that con where you have to go if you don't know anyone and make new friends, because everyone is really super friendly at MFM.
Mm-hmm.
Except for maybe Hydra, but...
Hydra? Oh, right, yeah. No, we'll talk about that later. So I was just looking on Wikifer, and the charity number 2014 was 7,300. So it did drop...
Dramatically.
...to 5,405 this year.
It was a big number for a very, very small charity like it is, so...
Yeah. Although it didn't really do much better... 2 years ago, it was 7,200. I mean, I remember way back at 7,100. It's been down for a little while. It's down a little further now. But I remember back in the day at the old hotel when it was something like there was like 20,000, 25,000.
They used to make good charity numbers.
Even 2011, they had 14,000.
Yeah.
Did they make the Tiger Haven people cry this year?
No, actually, the Tiger Haven ladies did not cry this year.
They're like, oh...
Honestly, the response they gave on stage was pretty much like, thanks. And it wasn't like a negative, like, oh, you guys gave us so little money. It was kind of like a depressed, like, oh, that's all they left me.
No.
Couple positive points, which was actually introduced by a couple particular people, was this year, instead of the T-shirt contest, they just went out and commissioned really nice art and color art on a color shirt.
Oh my god, their T-shirt was fucking adorable this year.
So,
holy Christ.
For those who don't know, up until this year, MFM, because it's Mephit and it's a skunk, everything they do is black and white. So the con book was black and white, cover included. The T-shirt was always black and white. The badges were always black and white. This year, they actually got away from that because I figured they probably wanted to spice things up a little bit or make it look a little newer.
They had colored badges and colored shirts and shit.
I think the con book cover was in color as well.
They didn't actually get a con book because they ran out, which is why I was kind of surprised. They were like, well, we're out of stock on things. And I'm like, oh. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, our attendance dropped. I'm like, did you guys plan for lower attendance?
Well, I mean, after a while, you're like, God, I've got like a million of these fucking leftover con books. What am I going to do with them?
What they did what both Anthrocon and Midwest are doing, where instead of bag stuffing the con book in every bag, they put them out on a table in a pile, and they order about a half to two-thirds of the con books that they think they need. Oh. Because not everybody... Yeah, like AC has them all stacked up on a big banquet table.
Wow.
And they're actually saving a ton. Because AC, instead of ordering 6,000 con books, maybe they order 3, 3.5 or something like that. It's something I've actually suggested. I don't know if it's gone anywhere, though. I think we're still doing the old-fashioned.
We are.
But like as we move forward, like a lot of people are like they're using the electronic sched.org and stuff like that for the schedule on the phone.
See, I want electronic con books.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you could do that as a PDF, or you could do it like a Kindle book, I guess. But I mean, that, I don't know, that might work.
Like an additional thing that you can have. So if you run out of comic books, you can be like, well, you can download a comic book on your phone. And then you can at least get the schedule and, like, the names of events and stuff.
God, you could put the con book online, like, before the con or something, and people could look at it.
Yeah, and you could look and you'd have the content, and you're not gonna... If I don't want the con book, I can just have a digital copy of it, and I don't have to clutter my fucking closet with another book that I'm never gonna look at.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot like print books versus e-books. Like, some people still prefer the old con books.
I like having the comic books, even though I don't look at them weirdly enough.
They're a nice thing to collect, like a memorabilia thing of your time in the fandom and everything. And I've got all of my old comic books. But at the same time, as far as like their information giving ability is what they're supposed to be used for during the con, you can do that nowadays on a smartphone or a tablet.
Yeah, it's like, go to the website.
Yeah, so all the information you're supposed to get from, like, your comic book, it would be convenient to have that just, like, on your phone, so.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have to think about that. But yeah, they did do a color cover, at least, though it was the statement-sized book instead of the letter-sized book, so it's, like, 6x9, or 5.5x5.5.
But overall, I think the con went decent. I mean, it went decent for how small it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, on fire, and it wasn't absolutely horrendous or anything.
No tornado this year.
Yeah, there's no tornado.
Or hurricane.
Yeah. So, like, the con was... It was decent. I think it would have been more fun if there was more people there, and it was a little more put together.
Yeah.
But I think that's just... They need some new staff and some new ideas to float in there.
Did you notice the art on the badges was really cute, too?
The art on the badges was really cute,
And I didn't pre-reg, but I still got a printed badge, and my name was printed on there all in this cool kind of font. And I point that out. It seems like a small thing, but I just remember years ago, not pre-regging for MFM and other cons, I would have to, like, hand-write my name on the badge with a Sharpie or something.
And if you fuck it up, well...
You're fucked.
Too bad.
Yeah. Oh, and we should mention that... Local artist friend of ours, Noxie Chu, is one of the two guests of honor at MFM next year.
Yeah, they announced her in advance.
Yep. Yeah, they actually announced their theme and their guest of honor in advance, which is something new for MFM, too. They're slowly learning.
And next year's MFM is the 20th MFM.
Which is a big fucking milestone.
It really is. It's one of the oldest, maybe the oldest con that's still running. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because, like, FC started in the early 2000s. Mephit started in 97. Anthrocon may rival that or be close to it. I'm not sure. But,
if they're not the longest running, which I don't think they are, they're at least top three.
Yeah.
For longest running convention. But I don't know if you could really count the years it was a meet-meet, so...
Well, that was only the first year. That was 97, I think.
Meet-meet.
At first, it was a meet. That might have been 96, actually. At first, it was a meet in the founder's house. And then it was like, fuck this. I can't host this here because it was like 70 people. And then they moved it to like a Holiday Inn or something.
The Holiday Inn.
And then it was a con. But yeah, the first Anthrocon was July 1997. And MFM 1... was August 1997. Anthrocon actually beat it by like a month and a half.
Yeah. Still, really long running con.
Yeah.
For a convention to survive and have their staff not completely rebel and say, fuck this mess, after 20 years is a pretty big fucking success, in my opinion. Because conventions collapse after a while, especially with how their numbers keep fluctuating and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to be a morale dump sometimes. It's just like, well, our numbers are going down again.
Yep.
So.
I'd like to see it succeed. I'd like to see it pick back up. Because, I mean, it used to be something I really enjoyed, and then for a long time I didn't enjoy it.
So clearly we need to engage in a hostile takeover.
Essentially.
Dallas first have already kind of done that. Like, I remember 4 or 5 years ago being down there, and literally it was like Papa's Pizza. We were hanging out this was at the old place. We were hanging out in the garden court, and I was surrounded by over 20 furs that are all from Dallas. that all went to the Addison meet. So there's a pretty hefty contingent of people from Texas and this
not
area.
Not anymore, sadly. A lot of people stopped going.
It's kind of trailed off the last few years. I don't know. I think I'm going to go next year to support Noxie and to be there for the 20th because I've been to so many of them. I don't know if I'll deal or not. I think part of why I had such a good time this year because I wasn't dealing and I was just hanging out, sleeping for 12 hours and partying all night.
I might staff infection the convention, but I don't know if I'm going to... I'm probably not...
That's a terrible way to put that.
Yeah. I don't want to help out, like, at the con, though. I want to see if I can... I'm going to poke them and see if they need any help with, like, their social media and, like, advertising stuff, because... MFM doesn't do advertising, as far as I can tell.
I think with their social media, they're...
Like, hey, we still exist.
Hey, guys. Well,
their Twitter did a good job of being active during the con.
Yeah, and no, Bunny did a good job with that.
And talking about shit that was happening. But where it fell down was there was not a lot of Twitter activity in the months leading up to the con.
They need to, like... That is one thing I will give Vermi. He talks on our fucking account for Fiesta all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you do not forget he's there because he's constantly talking. Yeah.
Doing silly things like, hey, Room Reg is open wider than past mouth at a pie convention or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, MFM needs something like that where their convention's absolutely active.
And I was talking to somebody about this where I was like, with what Vermi does with the Twitter for our con, you want to give your con a personality. It almost makes the con's Twitter account like its own character.
Yeah.
You know, like the character of the con. Mm-hmm. And if you can foster that, then it's, you know, it's like having a con mascot. And it just makes it more accessible and something you can identify or connect with, you know. I think that's what people running con Twitter accounts should really try to aspire to do that.
Instead of being a robot.
Oh, yeah. Or you're just being like, ultra professional, no fun allowed. I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally going to post an image macro on my con account.
Right.
If it's appropriate.
Yeah.
I would give you a taco, but instead, here's the room rates.
Right.
Well, it's stuff like that. Whereas, like, on my con account, they were like, you know, one guy was like, hey, I love working for this con, even if it is sometimes 20 hour days. We really put in a lot of work. And the reply from the con account was Kali Ma holding up the dude's heart. And it's like, I, flaming heart, you.
And, that's awesome.
And it's just like, at reply. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the con is good. If you're available during time, I think people should try to go for their 20th.
Yeah.
At least to support Noxie and, you know, try to give them some support. I know the Tiger Haven ladies are stupid, stupid, nice people, so... I really would like to see them start getting their numbers back for their charity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went to Anime Fest. That was actually fun.
Oh, cool.
I've been getting a lot more into anime.
Animus.
And so I was like, I know what these people are cosplaying as. Some of it. Yay! I went and my tradition of spending only the money that it cost to get me a couple boxes of Pocky at anime cons.
Mm-hmm.
Continues, but I got the cookies and cream and the banana chocolate, and it tastes like Oreos, and
they're fucking tasty.
Yeah, they're fucking great. I was actually gonna buy a Fox Kigu Rumi, which is the animal pajama things, but motherfuckers didn't take Amex.
I totally want a Fox Kigu. Don't hate.
And
Buzz.
The thing is like
I'm just like
it was this impulse buy, and then I was gonna do it, and they didn't take Amex. And I was like, fuck, fine, I'm not going to do it. And then
Did they have a Fennec one, or was it a regular Red Fox?
It was a Red Fox one. They don't really have a Fennec.
Was it a Fennec? It wasn't a special dog. It was just a trash
regular
fox.
Doggo.
I'm totally making myself a zip-up hoodie.
But then I came home and spent $130 and got a capture card for my consoles, so that's probably the better purchase.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was actually pretty cool. I went to a few panels. They were all
con.
Yeah. Well, like one was like voice acting and how voice acting is kind of hell, but it's fun.
Oh yeah, did you get anything out of that? That sounded
interesting. It was actually cool. I got some information from the gal. There was a gal that ran it And she's like main VA'd in a couple of Funimation things.
Cool.
And she has a website with a whole bunch of like reference links and stuff like that. I actually want to take a class, like a proper like voice acting class. I've never done one. I do audiobooks. I do fanfic readings all the time. It's all self-taught though.
Yeah.
And I can always improve my art, right?
Yeah, totally.
Something
you should invest in,
yeah. Yeah, and like I could put together like a fucking demo reel, and I mean Funimation's up there in Flower Mound.
Hmm.
If I want to do that, I mean, and Dallas is really good for commercial voiceover stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
If I wanted to do that, I totally could. I probably should. And it was inspiring, you know, and it was a fun thing. And I got to talk, like, asked if any of them ever did audiobooks. And was like, yeah, you could check this out. But that was actually something I got to, like, ask. There was another one, like, being a full-time creative. It was a woman and her husband, who wasn't there at the time. But she put on a panel on how she's, like, a full-time creative and how you balance, you know, stuff like that. And that was cool. I went to the Con Runners panel and didn't learn anything new, really. But it was like, hey, we're the heads of this 20-year-old anime con and this other con and this other small con and then this other dude. And it was just a whole bunch of, like, I already know this. I was hoping for, like, interesting stories. And it was just like, no, you live and die by your room nights, and contracts are not in your favor. If you don't have somebody there to do it, they will fuck you over.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. There was only, like, a half dozen people in the room, so I was polite and sat through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Starting a convention for dummies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like, I was kind of surprised, because someone was like, so how much, like, if no, how much does this space cost? And the answer, if you were to rent out the downtown Hilton or whatever?
Sheraton.
$380,000.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Now, they got it all countered by room nights.
So. Oh, man, Fiesta's just going to fit right in there so easy.
not for a while.
Oh, my God. That's expensive.
Yeah, that's just the space.
Yeah.
Not anything else. So, yeah, that was cool. What other one? I went to one other panel. I forget what it was, but I had fun, and I got a bunch of photos and put out a bunch of flyers and did what I do, and it was a good time, and like I just rode the train down both days and was able to make all the other things I planned, and it went well. I mean, I had a lot of fun, and I got to see like cosplays. There was two people doing Blue Snow from Shimonetta.
Yes.
There was a really good Wolfwood. There was a really good Lena Inverse and Gowrie from Slayers.
Yes.
There was a couple that yep aliens from Sesame Street.
See, that's one thing I wish that furries would incorporate a little bit more is like the cosplay aspect into fursuiting, because people have the fursuits, and I'm like, well, that's cool. You have the fursuit, but you have, like, no costume pieces.
You're just
no,
a naked like, fursuit.
Yeah, you're just a fursuit. And I'm just like, I want to see some props. I want to see some...
Oh. So, speaking of cosplay, though, so Blizzard today put out, like, cosplay guides, and I say that with quotation fingers, of a number of the Heroes of the Storm characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you want to make a costume, here's a bunch of high-res renders of, like, the characters with their armor on and their clothes off and the armor off, and here's the texture of the armor, and here's what it looks like as the model, and it's like, that's really cool.
Well, it's really interesting that they put out the texture models, too, because I know for most of the main concept designs for the characters, they actually bring in cosplayers who make the outfits that they use for the models for. So it's interesting that they didn't actually incorporate the people that cosplayed the outfits.
And it's funny because it's like, you can be Johanna, the Templar from Diablo 3, or Sylvanas, or Elite Tauren Chieftain, or this. And then the last one they include is Abathur, the fucking vagina mouth slug from StarCraft 2. I'm like, nobody's going to cosplay as Abathur. It would be, no.
They might put the lies on it.
Ugh. Abathur's fucking gross, man. He's like a bro of a character, but he's gross. Anyways, I had fun.
That's good.
That's good.
I've been curious about that convention, so.
It's Labor Day weekend, and you can take the train right down. It's right off Plaza of the Americas, Bryan Tower, walk from the Pearl Street Station right to, you know, you don't have to, like, go. Once you get inside, you can walk to Plaza America, get food, walk back.
Yeah, because I would see him around Labor Day weekend in the Plaza of the Americas just wandering around. I'm like, Anime Con, because yep.
Mm-hmm. There's about 10,000 people there.
Yeah, that's a good number for Anime Con.
Yep.
And
it's a pretty big con.
Well,
a small anime con.
It's a small anime con, but it fits the space it's in very well. Like, the AC can keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, A-Con's last year, a couple years ago, it was really too big.
Because A-Con like 22, was at, like, 23.
Yeah, it's about 22.
So they're about twice the capacity.
They were Otakon-sized at that point.
See, now they're 30. They're, like, the third largest con in the country.
God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty big. My
big brother.
Yeah, I did Otakon once, and I said never again. That shit was redonkulous.
I'm like five more days until PAX South tickets go on sale.
Refresh, refresh, refresh.
I'm totally fucking gonna get tickets. I don't know who I'm gonna go down there with, but if I get tickets, I'm gonna fucking go. I had so much fun last year.
Yeah, everyone came back and said they had a really good PAX, so.
And I wear that shirt all the goddamn time. I was like, yeah, this is my concert, bitches. I got to go to PAX South. I'll never be able to go to PAX Prime or PAX East or PAX Australia, but I may be able to go to the one in Texas. Seriously, they're like, they sell out in minutes for either of the two.
You never know. You might get lucky.
Yeah.
Hammering your F5 key through your fucking desk. Ah.
Files. Then their website collapses and catches on fire and everybody dies.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask all the furry dealers to help you out. I'm sure they've got their, like, refresh loaders ready.
Yeah.
Rory just bangs on the keyboard.
Like, yeah, well, then you got, I mean, the lotto for the last of the Fiesta vendor slots went out, so.
Oh, yeah, those did get done.
That was, like, so many, Jesus Christ, like, 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes.
3.5 minutes it took for them to fucking sell all the dealers done.
Fiesta's a big deal, y'all.
By the way, we're gonna hit 3,000.
Our little Babby Con is all grown up.
Yep.
And injected itself with fucking steroids.
Yeah.
Stop doing drugs.
Growth hormones.
Drugs pussy power.
Alright, so at this point we should probably, why don't we start reading some emails unless you have anything else?
I was actually gonna suggest that we heed Rahada's MFM Con report.
Oh.
Because that covers the party and everything that we went to.
Like, cover the Nazis.
It does. Oh, no. We'll talk about the Nazis here in a sec.
Nazis.
Excuse me. Okay. Do you want to read this or should I?
Go for it.
Okay. MFM Con Report. Greetings, Notcast crew. Just writing in with an MFM Con Report, which is Mephit Fur Meet 2015, for those that don't know. It was a good con overall, though as with any con, there's always a few things that could be better. The social media, and especially the webpage, isn't exactly the best. But at any rate, on to the report. Oh, I do want to note that Keo and I were like, oh, we never carry cash, because we always use cards for everything. And then we were like, fuck, the last time we were at Mephit, they didn't take cards in Reg. So their website said that they didn't take cards in Reg and were still looking into it. But I DM'd someone I knew was on Reg staff and asked him, and he said, yeah, we take them. So
we definitely take cards. It's not 1996 anymore.
That's one aspect that they need to update their website in that regard, because it's circa 2011. But anyway, continuing on with the con report. Two of my roommates and myself arrived on Thursday to get the room set up and get through Reg. Then just generally lounge around to talk to those getting in and some of the staff that were setting up. Later in the evening, had a nice chance to hang out with Rama, Shiva, and Saro and get caught up. Always nicer to talk in person than text or Twitter. Friday, the con started off proper, and I had a long stroll through the dealer's den, which, to be honest, felt a little empty. Not on people exactly, lots of good artists, including Anime Cat, whom I got a sketch from, but for things like books and comics. Those are the things I usually look for, opposed to art or badges. Still, it was a pretty nice setup and well-organized and ran. Another highlight of Friday was in the evening when Shiva, Saro, Gypsy Cat, and myself went to SOB to eat dinner. It was some amazing food, and I urge anyone to eat there if you have the chance. Get the popcorn.
SOB's fucking delicious.
I heard that all weekend. Saturday was a nice day of running around in fursuit as well as hanging out with people, including a nice conversation with Fuzz and Gypsy Cat. But the biggest high point that day was the party in my room. Skunk Works, and that's W-O-R-X.
Those invitations, yo.
Yes. I wonder if he doesn't cover those, we'll talk about them. That we've done 2 years running MFM as well as TFF. Several of us were dressed up, hosts and guests alike, and we drank and made merry long into the night. Party winner goes to Fuzzwolf, who was the last guest standing and still in the room at 4:30 a.m. Good work, Fuzz. Woo!
He beat me out.
Know what to do.
I know. That's the first time I've ever done that, I think. So just to follow up on what Keo mentioned, the invitations, like, oh, God, what's shit? I had his Kethris, thank you. I had his name in my head earlier, but then he didn't put it in the email, so I forgot. Kethris and Rahata, they only said Kethris and Havoc, and that'd be like the same person. Kethris and Rahata made up these special invites that were personalized for everybody, had our names on them and everything. They were sealed with like a wax seal, like an old-fashioned parchment-looking kind of thing. And then they found out, they always make a few extra just in case. And then, like, of course, really late on, like, Shiva or Sarah said, oh, Keo and Fuzz are going to come to the con. So they had to quick run upstairs and make them for us, which was really kind of cool. It was really nice. I was one of the ones where I was like, I don't want to open it. It's too pretty.
I was like, fuck this shit, open.
Yeah, I didn't rip it. It's still intact. But that was really cool. And this was also the party that had the martinis that were made with the gin and the Earl Grey tea.
Because
I tasted it, and I was like, this taste reminds me of something. What is it?
The old country.
And then exactly. And then he told me what it was, and I was like, oh, that's what I'm tasting.
I will blow Kethris for a like vat of that fucking gin.
Of that.
Like, I hate gin, and that was fucking delicious.
Yeah. It was good times. Also, they had the raspberry d'amour, raspberry liqueur that I really love, and it is apparently really hard to find. So, like, Rahata and I had several little shot glasses that we sipped of those. It was so good.
Shot.
Nah, that's a sipping kind of drink. It tastes really nice. Let me read the last day here. Sunday was a much more low-key day, mostly relaxing and again getting to talk to people I don't see as often as I'd like. With only one low moment when I needed to take a roomie home because of early onset of con sickness. One last great meal at the Mellow Mushroom Pizza Place with most of the guests from the room party the night before. Then it was sleep and Monday, time to go home. Overall, it was a very nice con and I'm likely to go back again next year. I suppose that's all for now. Till next con, Okocon. Farewell, peace be with you, and may the forces of evil become confused on the way to your house. Yes. Rahata.
Oh, it sounded like you had fun.
There we go. Thank you for the con report, Rahata.
Partied hard.
Yep.
Sunday, a.k.a. hangover day.
Yep.
A.k.a. Fuzz slept for 12 hours.
Hangover day.
Yep.
I wasn't even hungover when I woke up. I guess I slept through it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that much to drink, but I had more than I normally do. I.e. more than one drink.
I had plenty.
Awesome.
As I do.
Drinks aplenty. Do you want to read an email, or do you want to...
We'll do one email.
Okay.
NaNoWriMo incoming. Dear casters of nuts. With NaNoWriMo rapidly approaching, I'm gearing up to get one of my novel ideas down on paper. With that in mind, I thought I'd seek out some advice on how you folks go on organizing big projects you want to do in your spare time. Shiva and Saverin both spend time working on convention running and planning. Fuzz has for Planet, and more recently Saverin also has his YouTube channel. How do you all manage to strike a balance between work, play, and these additional projects? Looking forward to your input as always. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo from Scotland.
I just kinda go crazy.
I do what I want.
No,
I'm going to forever hear Jeeves like that now.
Yes.
Congratulations,
He
Jeeves.
Now sounds like a little yappy diamond dog.
Sorry, Jeeves.
Pony pulls the cart.
Anyways. So, with me, my particular lifestyle is a bit more freeform. I don't have a day job, though I do have audiobook projects that I work on. And I wake up, I work on projects, and like I treat everything more or less. I mean, I have a priority system, I guess. So like right now, top priority is con stuff. Then I have paid work, which I have a book that Fuzz and Tieran are reviewing and haven't gotten back to me about it, but they've got for Rainfur is coming up, so that's fine. That's fine. And then fan project stuff. Video gaming for YouTube and Twitch, or recording fan and audiobook stuff. And, of course, there's also keeping house, making sure Panther has laundry and food and milk and all that fun stuff, and cooking dinner and yada yada. So, I mean, I am, like, for me, I just go with a priority system. And, like, you know, whatever is the highest priority thing that I have to do at the time, I do that until I can kick down to a lower priority thing. And that's just how I roll. Like, I make sure, like, are there clean dishes? Is the laundry done? Does Panther have work clothes and or underwear? He needs those.
The regular Panther ball draining.
Yeah.
I work off a schedule system. I'm old school. Like, my phone keeps a schedule of everything I do all day. It's just like, okay, I'm at work, I got these meetings going on, I come home, I need to do this thing for, you know, YouTube, I need to put some stuff on social media for this, that, and the other thing, I need to go pick up this stuff from the store, come back, do house chores.
Yeah. Well, like, for me, today, like, I went over and fixed a, we thought, dead laptop, came home, did some recording. Had to put that on pause for a while because the fucking, there was a carpet cleaning truck, and it was over there for like 2 hours, and it parked right next to my car, so, where you're parked, Fuzz. And so that was getting picked up, so I had to do other things for a bit, and then that guy fucked off, but I did, like, laundry and whatever here, and so it was just like, you know, whatever I need to do is, like, doing video editing, audio editing, getting things up onto the net.
Is this ever a problem?
Not really, thankfully. Both of my upstairs neighbors are traditionally employed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is not a problem. And they have a little dog, but it's not a big dog, so that's not a problem either. Thankfully, our next door's neighbors have a really yappy little fuck of a dog, but he's not sufficiently loud to get picked up by my microphones. So, like, if I have my headphones off and I'm just working, I can hear him yapping, but if I have my headphones on and I'm recording, it's not loud enough to get picked up by the mics. And especially not once I get the audio processed.
Knock, knock, knock. I heard what you said about my dog on your podcast.
It's like, yeah, and I could complain to the office about it.
You know. Fuck you, buddy. I'm complaining about your dirty podcast.
Yep.
It's infecting the walls with gay.
So you go crazy, Keo has a schedule, and I have a priority system. Yeah,
I mean, I have a schedule for my day job that I loosely keep to, and then I just sort of try to fit stuff in as I can. Right now we have the specter of Rainforest looming on top of us, so we've got to... is their con theme, so it's appropriate.
Actually, yeah, tomorrow's the first day of Rainforest.
No.
I would be gone.
It's in like 2 weeks.
Oh, shit. Okay, I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, tomorrow's the first day of FAU.
Oh, because I knew there was a con like this weekend. And I was like, yeah. You're talking about Rainforest, and tomorrow's Friday. Isn't that the start of a con?
Yeah, FA United in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Rainforest is in 2 weeks, so we're still proofing some stuff and typesetting some stuff.
Okay.
So we're kind of freaking out about that. And then I will be able to fit in my lower priority things, which is crying in the shower and then sleeping.
Where does masturbation fit on that chart?
It doesn't. I don't have any time. I guess I could use my tears as lube and do that in the shower too.
See, what I do is I'm putting on makeup and I'm like dual hand in this. You
know? Ambidextrous.
Gotta get this eyeliner on just right. Hold on.
So is your dick now the color of a horse cock because the makeup smudges on it, so it's like six different colors?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's got the mottled.
Like Pocahontas is looking at my dick going, all the colors of the wind.
Can you come in all the colors of the wind? All over my face, not gonna chest.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure at this point, like, my cum is foundation, and I can just, like, and I'm good.
Oh, God.
Keo cum is good for your skin. Remember that at Rainforest.
I'll be in room, yeah.
I'm trying to drum you up some, well, I was going to say business, but you don't charge.
I might. I'm not opposed to money.
Depends on how ugly they are.
If your face looks like I got hit by a tow truck, then we're gonna have to talk. My fees are reasonable.
Buy me enough drink to make you pretty.
That's gonna be a lot of drinks, so I would suggest just paying my fee.
I'm gonna make you wear a mirror because then I could be looking at something good. God. Yes. Yes. Do me.
Or I could just do it like everyone else. Here, put this fursuit head on. Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
The soulless dead eyes staring at you.
He sees into the future, and all I see is his dick.
God. So, yeah.
Party.
It's like furries on the nude sites or something. Like, it's all, like, fursuit head.
And partials and paws.
Yeah. You're like, he got the angles, yo. Ain't good.
Why is his fur all stuck together? Lots of practice.
So, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, play some music, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. we're back. That was a track from a CD. Yeah.
What's a CD?
I don't know, actually. Well, I'm gonna probably going to play one of the tracks from the new OST Remix Final Fantasy IX Remake album that apparently they've been working on it for like 5 fucking years.
They have been.
And I'm like, holy shit, really?
Oh, God, I need to play so much more Final Fantasy
soon.
I
gotta go download that.
Final faggotry.
Basically.
Well, see, oh God, see, the thing is like, so 4 and 6 still look pretty good, though the 6 iOS thing's an abomination. But then you look at, like, 7, 8, 9, and they look so bad.
Yeah.
You kind of have to play them on, like, PCXE, like, to put the smoothing on, and then they still look kind of iffy.
Yeah, they didn't survive time well.
I mean, I got 10 and 10.2 HD. I could play those. But, like, you can't really go back. Because it's just like, oh, Jesus, they don't look so good.
Like, hey, I'm going to be a dork.
Are you taking photos?
I'm taking photos of my iPad, yeah. Because I happen to have it in my hand, so fuck it.
Ah. But yeah, that's really cool that came out, finally. 9 had a pretty good soundtrack, I thought. I had the physical soundtrack at one point.
Angry Kyo is angry.
He's unimpressed by your iPad photography.
Yes.
So, yeah, we have emails to go.
I have a perfect email for Kyo to read.
Oh, dear.
It's a...
Dear Notcast, where does it go?
There you go.
Where do you tuck your penis?
In the butt.
Oh, thanks. You're so nice. Foxes and fox sluts.
Oh, honey.
Hey, I've been listening to you first for a short while, and I've enjoyed every episode so far. Anyway, I wanted to ask your opinion on foxes and their reputation as one of the more slutty species. Going to hit fuzz. Do you have any ideas why this might be, the case, and do you think that foxes aren't sluts? Kind regards, Nephone.
So, as a wolf, I will refrain from answering and let the two foxes handle this.
Oh, let me answer you in Finnic.
Yep.
Well, I mean, like, your standard red fox is, like, Babby's first fursona in a lot of ways. I mean, it really depends on what your first contact with furry stuff is. Mm. Foxes were really prevalent back in the mid-90s and early 2000s because of Robin Hood. But now there's a lot of other stuff out there, and so people's starter fursonas are a lot of different things.
And plus, foxes aren't the foxes anymore. Those are so, like, 1999.
Yeah, you've got otters.
Otters are the new hotness right now.
Yeah.
It was huskies, and then it was deers, and now it's otters.
Otters, okay.
Otters are the new hotness.
God, I'm so behind the times.
They're water foxes, is the term I've
heard. Oh, okay.
Otters on fleek.
What? And so, like, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm a finnick. I'm, like, four species changes behind the curve of being the hot slut. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, otters are all... They just kind of slip it right on and, you know...
I mean, you've seen that one comic where it's just, you know, put your paw into otter space. Like, how do these characters survive being fucked by big dick wolves? Their butts are actually extra-dimensional portals.
Scully still does not believe in that asshole portal.
Oh, X-Files.
When was there an asshole portal?
There has to be, like, several fictional species that have, like, portals, because, like, that's the size of a softball. It shouldn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
AKA most of the things, though.
Yeah.
I was just thinking it, because I was thinking Fennec, so I was like, yeah, he's drawn more than one Fennec being crammed with a dick bigger than its torso.
Yeah, they don't need organs. Fennecs don't have organs.
No,
we're monocellular creatures, but a lot not like minions.
Well, you know, you get shoved with a giant dick, and all your organs just kind of shift into your ears.
The ears go floppy on the inward thrust.
God. So yeah, I think it's people that like try to play to type, but you know, no, It's not the slut on the species, it's the slut on the inside.
The answer is you wrote into the wrong podcast. You need to write into Mythbusters and see if they can figure out why foxes are such sluts.
Well, this is Anus Busters.
Right into Tested. Be like, so I was told, so in furry porn, which is the sluttiest? Okay, so for this, we went to E621 and typed in species keywords. And the actual sluttiest race is this. Mm-hmm. That could be some fucking science right there.
I assumed the reputation was because Keo started going to cons.
There was that. You know.
I am not a whore on most days of the week.
Well, you don't charge, so you're not a whore. You're just a slut.
Well, no, I've upped my standards. I charge a few dollars at least to feel better about myself.
Mm-hmm.
God.
So that you can wipe your tears away with some Benjamins.
Mm-hmm. I go home, and Avery just kind of smacks me and goes, bitch, where my money?
Avery's your pimp.
Well, he's the dong slinger, so obviously.
Yeah, and he's a dragon, so he's just sitting on the big pile of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's greedy like that. Fucking dragon.
So we're going to do some fucking science. All right, let's see Fox.
Okay.
I type in Fox in E621.
Oh.
And let's see how many of that returns. That can't be right.
10 billion.
No, it's like 397. I'm like, that's not.
It was so much that it looped around past infinity and came back to 300.
Wolf, what does it bring up? 396. I think that's just like the most that it'll bring up on a single search for something so generic.
Mm-hmm.
But let me see.
E621's like, fuck you, stop being generic.
Stop trying to break our servers with infinities.
Yeah.
Divide by zero.
Unfortunately, like, yeah, it's not bringing up actual numbers here. That's weird. It's like,
you failed us, E6321, whatever. That one.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's only returning 398 as the max number.
Hmm. So, oh, okay. So foxes outnumber wolves by one, at least.
Well,
that's what we know.
One to the square.
Okay, so let's actually like. So if I type in equine, that's 1,614 pages, and if I go back and choose wolf, let's see, wolves brings up 584.
See, wolves are bigger slots. Boom.
Well, in this case, it's the combined wolf. Let's see, go to Fox. That's 827. So the answer is that horses are the sluts, apparently.
Goddamn horses.
Because it's combined both pony and non-pony, so there's just a lot.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, otter.
Boom! You broke the site!
Oh, no!
Take it down like an otter!
scroll. 65 pages. So otters are not, in fact, the new sluts.
Oh.
Yeah. It's horses. People are all about the horse cock.
Yep.
Ponies, yo. I blame ponies.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And horse cock.
Them ponies, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And horse cock. Because horse cock. Who doesn't like a good horse cock now, don't you know?
Especially on the mares.
Oh, you know, you go down the street, you get a nice horse cock, you call it a day.
Okay, so, I have a very important question asked by Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Oh, okay.
Or you can read it if you want.
Oh, all right. We'll go to that. Dear Notcast, what do you get if you cross a sheep and a kangaroo?
Shit.
Probably. A woolly jumper.
Bah, fuck.
There you
wah,
go.
Wah, 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 wah.
Okay.
Kangaroo. Shep. Nope.
All right, so I can read this one, I guess.
Okay.
And I will do it in a regular voice.
Okay.
Last episode question regarding sissies.
Oh.
Greetings all.
Hello.
Thought I'd respond in regards to your question from last episode regarding sissies. Generally, you guys were pretty close to the mark. Unfortunately, the term's a little bit complicated, and as often happens in kink, it means different things to different people. In my experience, there are two major definitions of a sissy or sissification, which are somewhat related but at the same time completely separate. The first one comes out of the more mainline kink BDSM community. It is very much a humiliation-based type of play, often found in femdom dynamics. Basically, it is a type of player scene in which the submissive, generally male, is forcibly stripped of his masculinity into a more feminized role. It can include a variety of elements, including dress, generally leaning towards lacy, frilly-type clothes, locking the sub's penis in a chastity cage and calling it a clit or clitty, roleplay where the sub is treated as a woman, usually using traditional gender roles, etc. Personally, this type of play makes me more than a little uncomfortable because of the implications that one gender is by nature inferior or less than the other, especially the sense that women are lesser than men. Due to the implicit humiliation aspect, I see this as something completely separate from drag or men who like wearing women's clothing because they prefer those styles. The second is more predominant among the age play community. Among AB/DL players and baby first, sisters are generally individuals who nominally identify as male, but during age play wear colors and clothing more generally associated with girls. Lolita type dresses, petticoats, bonnets, lots of pink, more girly prints, etc. And engage in activities/interests more common identified with girls, playing with dolls, Disney princesses, playing house, tea parties, etc. While the humiliation/forced feminization aspect can and does still come into play here depending on the player's dynamic, for most of the sissies I know, it doesn't. It is more than while in age play/regressed headspace, their persona more closely identifies as a girl, so in this aspect, while still in part of a kink, it is more possibly related to expression of more genderqueer portions of an individual's personality. Anyway, hope that helps. Sorry if it was a bit wall of texty. But too much chic.
Oh.
Okay.
I know now.
Yes.
Okay. The more you know.
And no, I still haven't interacted with any of that.
Yeah, that's not my scene. Sorry, dudes.
But informative.
Yes, we learned a thing.
I'm glad that you took the time, because now I know.
Yeah, and that will hopefully inform whoever asked us about sissies on the, I don't remember what we were responding to.
Well, someone asked if Kyo had ever like interacted with that scene. I'm
I think it was the same person responding to me or us not knowing.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, they said we were pretty close to the mark, but not quite. So, yay, we didn't completely fuck it up. But again, it's not something we were like aware of, really.
Like, right. I'm aware of it.
We know it's
it.
A thing, but yeah. We don't like play with that scene. That's cool. Whatever floats your boat, right?
Yep.
All right, Kyo.
Yes. Turn. Do you want Indie Furcon Report, your reference con report, or one of the anonymous Tumblr asks?
Flip a coin.
Tumblr ask.
Okay, all right.
Because if you flip a coin, you can get four questions.
That's right. Yeah. Because I'm sorry. Coins can land on their side or in e-space. I don't know.
Space. Yes. Anonymous asked a question. Fuzz, you mentioned an orgy last episode. What are those actually like? What does the setting feel like, if that makes sense? Never known anyone who's been in one, and I'm entirely curious. Sincerely, Anonymous asked.
Wow, I sometimes forget that other people can hear what I'm saying when we
record. Right? So you tease people with such salacious details.
Explain your orgies.
Okay, so
many, many orgies.
Imagine a hot dog factory.
Okay.
That's a lot of processed bad organs, okay.
Now imagine that gif of a woman having hot dogs thrown in her face. That's what an orgy is though. Okay.
Makes a hot dog real
so
bad.
This happened because I had driven out of town with my ex-boyfriend, his current boyfriend, and their creepy friend who wasn't dating any of them to see two guys that were mates that we were friends with. So that was six of us. And we kind of broke off into separate little groups. Like you'd play, like people would sort of pair off. But not with their normal partners, because why have an orgy otherwise? So it was really a lot like one-on-one, except there was like other people around you that you knew that were having sex.
You're having sex in proximity of other people.
Right. And you could like reach out and pet or scritch other people while they were doing a thing. and I remember at one point, like five of us are sitting on the bed. And one of my friends is sitting off to the side in a chair. And I was like, dude, get on the bed. Huh? Why? Because I want to say I was in bed with six people once. Get on the bed. So I had him just sit down on the edge of the bed just to be like, woo, we're all in the bed. Yeah. I was young. It was fun.
So it's fun, but it's not like super amazing. Whatever.
I did get deep-throated pretty fucking awesome at that orgy.
Hey, it sounds like it'd be a good time.
Yeah, yeah. It's just when you're... You have a few friends that are all, like, young and horny or old and horny or whatever, but that you're, like, comfortable with. And, you know, most of them, except for the creepy guy, I'd already fooled around with one-on-one or in other configurations earlier anyway. So it was all kind of people I knew. So, yeah, it's just, like, getting a handful of people that you know. Although I think the legal definition in Alabama is something like three people with their shoes off in a bed. Or something like that.
Man. So if somebody keeps their shoes on, it's okay.
Right, yeah, but anything above that point is classified as an orgy. Or something. It's something ridiculous like that in one of those dumblaws.com.
So in other words, you had yourself a good old dick fiesta.
Yeah, everybody there did have a dick, yes. Dick that's fiesta. Why I was gay. Like, it was very gay. It was like gay times six.
You should have had an artist there, and he could have drawn the whole experience.
Like a fucking court sketch artist just drawing it in that colored pencil as things happen.
Yeah.
Jack, draw me like one of your slutty people.
like drawing it while someone's blowing him, so he's like this.
Sketch pad on head. Don't move. If you move too much, you'll fuck up the sketch.
He only works in watercolors, and he keeps the brush washing jar on top of the guy's head.
Lick my brush.
Just get a little humiliation play in there. Clean my brush, but all of it sloppy just watercolor dribbling down your chin.
Wipe all the excess paint all over their face. There we go. Just, now leave. Just, look like a colored whore.
You cloud face colored whore.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Stop calling her now. No. I think we made the same reference last. It's from Four Rooms, the dead whore in the bed.
Yeah.
Dead fucking whore.
Oh, we need to watch that movie again sometime. So Keo hit up that one. Does that mean I'm next?
Yep.
Okay, all right. Okay. I'm going to hit the other Tumblr one. Anonymous asked a question. In the next couple of weeks, some of the casters' favorite TV shows resume with either a new season or the second half of the current season. With that in mind, did a not-cast crew ever think about the plot and characters of shows beyond the scripted material? Do you formulate ideas and theories for how the show is going to progress, separate from headcanons that you might just want to be true? And if so, care to give any examples, predictions for current shows? So for me, Keo is giving me creepy eyes. For me, Doctor Who returns on September 19th, which I'm very excited about. I know that Missy is coming back in the first two episodes. It's a two-parter. And there's going to be, and River Song is coming back as well, and that's going to be a two-part climax of the season, or the Christmas episode, I think. Cool. Something like that. You know, and I'm looking forward to more of 12 and Clara. The trailer looks really good. The Daleks are back, which look pretty fucking good. Like, actually looks like they snuck a special weapons Dalek in there as well, which was one that was seen in the last Dalek episode of the classic series, which is really cool. During the season, I will formulate ideas on what's going on. It's hard to say at this point because they've wrapped up the storyline from Series 8 and they'll be introducing new elements and new mysteries for Series 9. But yeah, during Series 8, I had my theories. I totally called who Missy was, really, which I won't say on here just in case people are catching up.
No spoilers.
Yeah. And, you know, like the Pandorica season... Tieran and I were all over that, you know, especially some of the little hints, like the fact you could see his jacket was on in one scene where he'd been shown to take it off earlier, and you're like, oh, that's a different him that's traveled in time, and it was like this cool little hint that was in there that Tieran and I picked up on. It was like, woo! So we do that during the show. I don't have anything right now, because the season hasn't started yet, but... as for Pony, my headcanon in that is that Fluttershy is totally my waifu and she likes it in the butt. Anyway, on to you, Sapper.
Pony's coming back this weekend, so that's cool.
And Steven Universe just came back.
Yes!
For fans of that.
Then there's... Gravity Falls is still going on. I really need to catch up on season two of that. Most of my anime is ending here in, like, 2 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
And what's weird is, like, they're both... at least two of them are nowhere near any conclusion. Like, neither Monster Musume nor Gate are anywhere near complete. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they only get the 12 episodes, and that's fucking it, that is going to be the bluest balls of anime I've seen in a long time. Because...
So they haven't announced if they're renewing either of those shows?
Yeah, and because, like, the Gate series of novels, like... They haven't introduced the fucking Dark Elf yet, and she's, like, came out in the middle of the series, and there's only two episodes left.
I think Gate's gonna be a continuing series.
God, I fucking hope so. It's so good.
Yeah, Monster Musume, though, I don't know, that could go either way.
Yeah, I mean, it's ongoing, but the thing is that manga is super great selling. Like, it's on the New York Times bestseller of manga, and the most recent episode I watched today... What the hell is going on?
Yeah, yes. I didn't have a chance to watch this episode.
Oh my god, yet. It's weird because it's like two little vignettes. One's Poppy and a dryad girl for the first half, and the second half is Centauria and this imp girl, Lilith, who's fucking with her.
Because Lilith.
Yeah. You got big old centaur titties and...
Titties.
Giant dryad titties.
Big ol' centaur titties.
Get on the titties.
Don't fuck the snake, fuck the centaur. And I'm saying that specifically for Indefmech because he's like, the last two episodes you've tried to justify fucking a centaur. I'm like, yeah, fuck the centaur, not the snake.
Horse pussy.
Yeah.
that came from a funny old picture that I saw on Twitter where it was like somebody was asking the centaur character why... She wears pants up front, but her horse pussy is just there in the back for anyone to see. And somebody focused in on the words horse pussy, and it was just written in huge letters, horse pussy.
Yeah.
And it's like, pussy. Yeah, she's totally hot. I totally want to fuck her. You know what you're getting, right? Horse pussy.
But yeah, so Monster Musume is ending, but like Charlotte is... reached its climax point.
And, I haven't heard of this one. I've heard you mention the other ones.
Yeah, Charlotte is a Junmaeda racket, so if you've watched...
What the fuck was that?
He's the name of the writer, so he wrote, like...
Okay, all right.
Air and Kanon and Angel Beats and a bunch of really popular...
Floaty anime?
Sorry, I thought that was, like, a type of anime.
No.
I didn't know that was his name.
It's done by Keyanimation, that's a studio.
Okay.
And... A lot of his stuff is based upon visual novels.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff that Keyanimation does is based on VNs. And this particular one is it's a one-season show with, like, I think I've explained in the past, basically all the characters in the universe, some teens, when they hit puberty, they have some sort of, like, mutant power activate. And it goes away by the time they hit, like, 18.
But it goes away?
That sucks. But all their powers are imperfect in some way. It's like the main character can control people for 5 seconds at a time. Also, he goes unconscious for those 5 seconds. There's one girl who can turn herself invisible to one person at a time. There's another the other character can go really fast. He just can't stop himself.
And is he invulnerable? So if he hits
He has to wear like body armor.
Right.
And so the story is like imperfect X-Men in a way, and the story,
and Johnny Storm is just, his skin is on fire.
Yeah, he just screams constantly. Well, like there's one character, she's a pop idol, and her ability is channeling, and the only ghost she can channel is her dead sister, who is a pyrokinesis.
Oh, who's crazy as shit.
She was a biker girl who died in a motorcycle accident. And so you have this super cute, kawaii pop singer who channels her sister. And doesn't she just takes over sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, the fuck you say to me, little bitch? Yeah. To, like, people. She's, like, switches on. It and, like, they just recently did the what the fuck twist in episode 10. And there's only two more episodes left. So yeah. I'm excited about that one.
Charlotte's pretty good so far.
So, yeah, there's the new season of anime is coming up here in, like, 3 weeks' time. So we'll see if there's anything good. But this season has been fucking good.
Yeah, no, this season's been fucking amazing. I still need to look over the fall previews and see what all came out or is coming out.
Like, basically once that starts, me and James are going to, like, come over and just watch a fuckload of anime for a day and just be like, okay, so this is what we're probably going to watch and this is what we're going to avoid and this is shit. And fuck Naruto Shippuden episode 5,012,000,012.
Maybe I should watch some anime.
Why can't they just get to the climax already? The fucking manga's done.
Because it keeps making money.
I know, so much
episode,
money.
Did you say episode 512?
Actually, they're at episode 700.
Fuck
or that. So. And that's just of Shippuden.
There is one show that can do that, and that is Doctor Who.
So the original Naruto ended at like episode 400 or so?
Yeah.
And the Shippuden, like, which is a time skip, everybody grew up.
Shippuden my dick in your ass.
And it's like episode 715.
Mm.
Well, yeah. Actually, I'll just go to fucking Crunchyroll and pull it up.
Yeah, like,
because it's
if they cut out the filler for Shippuden, it would be so much
and
better.
And that's the thing, right? Is like, oh, One Piece is supposed to be all right. Well, it's also on episode 700-something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocking out.
Ooh. I remember catching up on Bleach like halfway through and going, oh my god, there's so many fucking episodes of Bleach. Holy Christ.
Oh,
I don't hear Bleach people talking about Bleach anymore.
Because it's been done.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Crunchyroll. I don't want your fucking app. It wouldn't run on this iPad anyway. It's too old. Okay, so scrolling down. Himoto is kind of eh. I didn't like that one too much. Shokugeki no Soma. That one's fun. Food Wars.
I love Food Wars so much.
Oh, man, I want the recipe book. Okay, Naruto Shippuden, season 17. Okay, episode 429.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Gintama season 3, episode 200-something. God, this does not want to fucking... One Piece, episode 709.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fucking, most of the Jump series get crazy like that. Like, Fairy Tale.
Yeah.
It's about as bad.
Monster Musume, episode 11 in 4 days. Fuck yeah! No. Go back. Okay. It's like, to watch this video, download the Crunchyroll for your iPad. It's free download from the App Store. I'm like, I accidentally clicked something.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, don't start playing Gintama season 3, episode 287. I'm the mayo guy, and he's the sweet tooth. So I'm going to go back to the mail.
Okay, and read one of the con reports.
Mail time.
Here's the mail that never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail, and when it comes, it makes me wail. God. All right, so.
What was that from again?
Blues Clues.
Make
us want to wag our tails.
Yes. They're fucking fur facts.
All right, so late Indie FurCon report. This is from, let me scroll down, Roel. Okay, so, fear not, wise elder furs, for this will not be a wall of text or relationship drama. No, or not a wall of text of relationship drama. No, it will be a wall of text of a con report. I should preface this by saying that this is my first furry convention because I've only been out as a furry for 3 months now, and I have you to thank. 7 years I've been lurking, consuming art and stories, and never actually commenting or contributing anything.
Seven years we've been rusting, needing so much more than dust. Sorry.
What inspired me to come out was Notcast. I forgot how I stumbled across it, but actually listening to the voices of real-life furries, who at this point had only existed via text or art, made me realize how furries were actual meat-space people instead of as weird internet animal people.
We're totally weird internet animal
people. We're weird actual meat-space people and weird internet animal people. That was in May 2015, shortly before I got the balls to go to my first fur meet. 3 months later, I'm watching Bucktown Tiger trade racial jokes with con staff as part of a panel I'm attending at IFC. Sweat pouring down my face as I'm in a full fursuit. But I'll get to that part. Point is, you helped. Thank you. Please give yourselves a round of applause.
A pause.
One.
So, IndieFurCon 2015 took place in the Indianapolis Marriott in mid-August. I had read up plenty on cons at this point and was ready to apply my book learning to the real world. I arrived there before any of my roommates, so I busied myself with panels since I couldn't check into the room. There was an excellent First Sitting 101 panel on performance and maintenance hosted by Ronnie Doodle Dragon that was hands down the best presentation I've ever heard. And that includes my 6 years of university life. Maybe it helped that a certain red-striped husky was acting out all the devices it was given.
I've got to stop you there. I love the name of the legendary dragon, Ronnie Noodle Dragon.
He's like a fucking, like, he's an Easter dragon.
Dragon
instead of
Noodle Dragon, yeah. That's an awesome name.
Something I wished every con did, Nerf War. Lots of fun, and the con even provided plenty of guns and ammo. Some people need cons as an excuse to fursuit. I need them as an excuse to perform unnecessary combat roles and wear a bandolier. If any listeners are also there, I was a guy with pistols akimbo and dual thigh holsters. I also learned to play poker on Saturday night in the intro to poker. Sat out of the tourney, though, because furry poker is serious business and no place for beginners. Kind of disappointed more players didn't show up in suit, though. There was just one lone wolf. Missed opportunity for a recreation of dogs playing poker. I was a little disappointed in myself that I didn't spend more time in the dealer's den or artist alley buying art / swag or just talking to artists. Nobody I watched in FA was there, but they seemed like interesting folks, and I didn't get a chance to pick their brains and see what it's like on the other side of the commission. Sunday night, I was torn between the karaoke and the dead dog dance. As it turns out, that problem resolved itself as the karaoke equipment malfunctioned and the low dance attendance led them to contribute the two to a raucous and fun 2 hours of people trying to out-embarrass each other. They just become an official karaoke dead dog next year. My fingers are crossed. IFC was described to me as a friend con, as opposed to the bigger cons like AC or MFF, a chance to hang out with people and relax and have fun. This being my first furry con, I feel like I did nothing but meet new friends. All in all, a wonderful experience and has me looking forward to my next friend con and the big MFF approaching this December. Roel, with a long O.
I'm totally stealing friend con.
Oh, and I realize I left out all the first sitting stuff, but that's a long story. I think that's something I'll have to save for another letter. Okie dokie. So you had fun at your first furry con, and we helped. Yay!
Cool.
Your dick did not set on fire. Congratulations, you survived.
So there's one email left, and that's Keo's. This is not a slutty fox email.
Allegedly.
I'm a slutty badger.
Your reference 21 con report. Your reference 21, Berlin, Germany, August 19th.
I decided to take one dick for each year of Euroference. I'm a fox. No.
First of all, let me say, what a con. Probably the best con I've had in 5 years I've attended Euroference. But it wasn't mainly the con itself that made it great. It was the people. Upon arrival, I met up with a few great friends. We shared a few beers, even before I managed to get my luggage to the hotel room, which is a good way to start a fucking con. After that, a friend joined me to do some mandatory shopping for the con. Water, snacks, and Febreze for the week, because bitch stank. This year, I got to do the whole tourist stuff that I didn't get to do last year. We went to the Berlin Main Station. The government district.
Nice German there, Gio.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. It wasn't German, wasn't it? Heisenbinderhafen! Aw, that's cute. The government district. The Bundestag Holocaust Museum. Memorial. Sony Center.
Oh, shit. We should totally not have that discussion that we needed to have earlier.
I know, right?
So, speaking of Euroference, let's talk about those goddamn Nazi furs.
Alexanderplatz. Tannhäuser. Field, and many other places. This, of course, spread over several days. It was really gay.
Damn it. Saverin is showing me pony porn and it's hilarious.
It's this Fluttershy, it's this changeling holding a giant horse wing like Ash in the
Evil Dead Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness with Fluttershy hanging onto one of his legs and the pile of satisfied ponies beneath him.
Womp womp.
God dang. Fucking internet, what are you doing? Good job.
So they did the touristy thing over a whole bunch of places. This, of course, spread over a few days. It was a great way to spend the mornings when nothing else really happened. There was nothing else in quotations, so I'm assuming there was massive gay orgies.
You know, for all the German words you don't know how to pronounce, just insert one you do. And then we visited the Volkswagen Museum.
But I like just screaming in gibberish, because okay. That's kind of how German sounds to me. When it came to the con itself, I did manage to attend a couple panels. Not really as many as I wanted to attend, but photo opportunities kept coming up at the times I wanted to attend panels. I went to the opening ceremonies in fursuit, which was really nice. I'm surprised you did not burn alive. The main stage Euroference had this year was really huge and well set up, even with a laser show. I also got to see the Rhubarb and Cosmic show. I didn't know Rhubarb made it there. And man, I have to say, those guys really know how to entertain. Damn right they do. I was also lucky enough to get a couple of decent photos during their show. I sure hope it's not the last time I get to see those two guys live. Probably not, because the Banthro guys are there usually, so... other typical con stuff I did? Well, not much. I visited the art show, the dealer's den, only got two t-shirts this year, so the den visit was over in 15 minutes. But that was really the only thing I wanted to buy there, so success! The rest of my con was spent taking a lot of photos, around 2,600 in total.
Holy shit.
That is a lot of fucking pictures, yo. I got to experiment a little bit with my camera and the use of my flash, which turned out a lot better than expected, so achievement unlocked. The majority of my convention was spent hanging out with new and old friends, though. This was actually what made this the awesome time it really was. There we go. Really enjoyable.
Use your words.
It's all that German. Mm. Really enjoyable dinners, some drinks, and a bar, and just being social. Okay. I do also have to say, even though the theme of the con wasn't the best, a greenhouse world. Your friend's staff clearly has learned things from last year when the con moved to the current hotel in Berlin. See, I can say Berlin. Mm-hmm. This year, it seemed like things were a little bit more smooth sailing, and even if there were some delays for panels, it wasn't nearly as much as last year. The week just flew past so fast, which is probably a good sign of me having a great time. Damn right it is. Especially if there's drinks. I really enjoyed the talk you guys had from my last email a few weeks back. I think that might be really enjoyable and helpful for quite a few people out there. It was about conventions and tips of penises. Thanks again, guys, for making a really awesome show. Keep up the great work you do for your community. Nothing. We all really appreciate what you're doing. Nothing. Kind regards from Norway. Loki. Loki!
We're helping.
We're helping, damn you.
So I was actually wrong. So I went to E621 again because I was horrifying fuzz with pictures of porn.
Right.
So actually, if you go with just K9 has like 171,000 pics. Foxes, go back a little bit. So just wolves have 43,000 images. Canines by themselves are 172,000 images. So I go back some more. I realize that I'm like doing live research here.
Mm-hmm.
Fox has 61,951. So that's a chunk. Otters only have like 5,000 images.
That's weird. They're supposed to be the new hotness. The internet lied to me again.
Mm. And if you go with equine, that's 121,043. Of which 31,000 are Pegasus.
Wow, wow.
And Rainbow Dash has 13,088 images.
Hmm.
There are people that track that stuff. Anyways, so there is that.
So, I'm looking at our patron manager, and we owe some people some shout-outs.
Yes, we do.
So, at the you need to list some folks in the $3 reward, where we'll list them in the show notes.
Yep.
The $5 reward is a shout out on the show. So we will thank Riven Scythe, Shadow D Wolf, and Mighty Ferret.
And the people also higher than
that. I know. I'm going to go into that because the next reward tier is Saffron will think of you and moan as he cleans his ear with a Q-tip.
Okay.
So you have to thank Kylie Rouge.
Oh, Kylie, thank you.
And Rayfar.
Oh, Rayfar, you're doing us so good. Kylie, next time we go to a con, we're totally going to take you to dinner. Oh, yeah.
And let me see if episode 291 was different, because that was listed under 292.
Oh, what's... oh man, the Finnick ears are so sensitive.
And I think those appear to be the same folks. Okay, cool.
Thank you so much. No, seriously, y'all rock.
Yeah.
There's actually decent income coming in for the show, and we can like do shit with it in theory.
Yeah.
Yes, we need to get on that.
All right, so other than that, you can always email us at notcast@foxdeffers.com. You can go to our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com, and send us anonymous questions via the little question mark on the upper right corner of the page. You can find us on Twitter at notcast. You can find for affinity at notcast. It's like there's a trend here. We have a Patreon, which we just thanked, patreon.com/notcast.
Wow.
Got like 23 Patreons, and those guys are cool.
Yeah, it's really something. Like, we were just going to put that. I didn't know what to expect, you know,
when
we
put that up there. You never fucking know, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, people really do like our shit. That's great. Y'all rock. And, you know, it helped us replace some burned-out equipment, and there's more we could replace at this point. And we got new XLR cables, and we'll be getting some new headphones soon.
And we're also going to take a trip to Nevada, pay for a prostitute, and then do a review show about our experience.
That'll be $22.50.
Is that all?
Is that?
I said I charged to make myself feel better.
Not to pay the rent. God. I got a day job for that shit.
So, yeah, thank you guys for listening, I guess. Unless you got anything else.
I got a cool new commission.
Yeah, as Fuzzwolf in a cyberpunk setting. It's pretty cool.
Vagina surfing.
Actually, no, it's a it's a clean piece, but...
Lies.
Man, I made that bitch so wet I could surf.
Cool.
And by bitch, I mean female canine furry, not, you know,
the other You're not guy. Being degradant, you know.
I'm not being derogatory.
Yeah.
Okay, so... We totally forgot to talk about those fucking Nazi furs.
Goddamn Nazis.
So there were at least two, right?
Yeah, there was two Nazi furs there, and they blew a friend of ours, like, fucking mind. She was like, I don't know if I should fuck you or hate you. Was her exact word. She was just like, I don't understand if I should fuck you or hate you.
Or hate fuck.
I can't even. Or odd.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I don't know if that was his real accent or if he was, like, doing the fake German.
Oh, then he was getting pissed off because people were fucking with him, and it's just like,
you're seriously? Dressed up as a fucking Nazi. Of course you're getting people fucking with you, you fuck.
Oh, my God. Fuck. And of course he was hanging out with Pigpen and his crew, so.
Wait. Is that the name of somebody?
No.
Or, just the dirty guy. Oh, yeah, the
there you go.
Dirty, nasty, stank guy. Yeah. Wasn't he one of the Nazi furs, though?
I think so. I don't know.
Uniform, was the dirty, stank guy with their you know, obligatory intermention?
Oh. Well, they were making sure they had a reason to take some... Anyway, there's some terrible jokes there. I'm just
so gonna leave so are you alone. Saying that they needed to take him to the showers?
Yeah.
You fucker. Except I'm the one that vocalized it. I'm the terrible person here.
It's because you're the voice actor.
Fuck.
But no, see, I mean, I wanted to walk up and be like, oh, hey, man, you ever seen Inglourious Bastards?
Worked out well for those guys, right?
Yeah. You're totally on the fucking winning side.
Hail Hydra.
Let me get out my knife. We're going to put a smile on your face and a Nazi swastika on your forehead.
Nazis. But yeah, no, that was like the most random fucking thing at MFM. I was just like, you know, Nazis, really?
It still blows my mind that people think it's like, oh, it's cool to do that.
Well, I mean, Hugo,
too edgy for me, you know?
Hugo Boss had some fucking nice uniform ideas. It's just the assholes that wore them were kind of bad.
What was
kinda,
it?
He was actually saying to Mono, where am I, my Hugo Boss? That'd be sexy or something
yeah,
like
no,
that.
Yeah, no, he was totally fucking saying that. He was just like, yeah. Oh, yeah, he has such sexy outfits. I'm going to put on my full Nazi uniform tomorrow. I'm going to be so sexy.
Well, like, the fucking, they actually have, like, gotten rid of the Yowen Nazis out of, like, fucking anime cons locally. People were like, yeah, this isn't cool anymore.
Yaoi Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
That was a thing.
Like, they weren't fucking locking up gay men along with the Jews. You know, gay people do not have a positive history with Nazis.
No.
Just saying.
And it was just like they had the red armbands that said Yahweh or Yuri, or it was dumb as shit. And they had the hats that had the skulls, and it was like, are things the skulls? Are we the baddies? Yes.
Yes, you're the baddies.
I totally had an interaction with those guys at my first OklaCon.
Oh yeah.
Because I was in my first con outfit, which was so delightfully delightful.
Uh-huh.
Well, isn't that terrible shirt?
Oh, yeah, the terrible shirt.
It's totally over the top. But,
yeah, completely over the top. And I'd gotten my first tail and ears, mm-hmm. which was my first purple tail and ears, which inspired my fursona. And I was wearing that around. And so I had the super gay shirt with my super gay pants, my super gay colored hair.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was walking outside and they were just like a whole big fucking group of them like fucking surrounded me and were like, oh, first fucking convention.
Seriously?
Yeah, like first convention, that was my first thing. And it was actually really interesting because I was walking, but the group I was walking with was with the voice actors panel for Full Metal Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
Which had the voice actors, like the actual voice actors for the show.
I thought you said OklaCon. You said Otakon.
Otakon.
That's why I was completely confused.
I was very confused.
I was like, I do not remember this
like,
at OklaCon.
There's a bunch of Nazi furs and we had voice actors? What the fuck?
Yeah, no.
Okay, alright.
Otakon was actually my first convention.
Okay.
So I accidentally
slightly
got
different.
Invited to a dinner with the voice actors.
Oh. Cool.
On accident. So it was one of those like, oh, but I was with a group of them and like Vic Magoli, it was like, you all can step off like right the fuck now. And mm-hmm. I'm still convinced he says he has a wife, but the way he queened the fuck out on these like Nazi people.
Well, he was probably doing it on purpose, but yeah.
And it was just like, damn.
So I'm pretty glad that that's getting stomped out at cons for the most part.
Yeah.
Like any cons. Because really, that shit doesn't fly.
Yeah, it's just such a fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, he was snazzy, but also kind of evil.
I'm edgy, and I'm going to be a Nazi because it's cool because it offends people. Ooh, I mean, it's so fucking childish.
I could offend people perfectly fine without wearing Nazi regalia, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's just, yo, that shit's illegal in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
And rightfully so, and yeah, people are like, whoa, my free speech over here. And it's like
yeah, you can totally wear it. I'm just going to think you're an asshole.
Yeah. And you know what? A con and a hotel space is still private property. They can ask you to leave or they can ask you to change. And if you don't change, they can say, well, you're not welcome at this con.
Yep.
I fully fucking support conventions having some standard of dress and saying that hate speech and hate clothing, because you wouldn't allow someone to, yeah, we roll our eyes at people who wear like the straight pride t-shirts, but if someone was wearing a shirt that said like, I hate fags or I hate N-word, you know, or anything like that, you wouldn't allow that. The hotel wouldn't allow that.
Yeah.
You don't walk around a fucking Nazi uniform. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I know Jewish furs that have said they actually felt really uncomfortable when they see somebody wearing, I mean, you're talking like two generations ago, like their fucking grandparents were in concentration camps.
Even if they're not, that's still just really dumb.
Yeah, it's really dumb anyway, but I'm just saying there are people in our fandom whose families have been personally affected by World War II and the Nazis. And it's like, that's not fucking cool, you know?
Nope.
It's just kind of being a shitty person.
Yeah.
Try to get attention for yourself with doing something good.
Give blowjobs. Yeah. People love blowjobs. You'll be the most attention in the room, I promise.
Be a good fursuit performer, performing blowjobs.
Punch a baby.
Write about blowjobs. Draw blowjobs. Do something involving blowjobs. Nobody wants a Nazi blowjob.
No. Know?
Giving a Nazi blowjob is like giving AIDS at a party. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
I went there.
You did.
Oof. So don't dress like AIDS at a con either. That's also really offensive.
That is really
people
offensive.
People see that ribbon symbol on your arm and are just like, ugh, really? My brother died of butthurt. That is not funny.
What?
No. Okay, so we've fallen off the rails again.
Sorry.
Butthurt?
Well, no, that's rectal cancer.
Now, see, if somebody actually made, like, an actual AIDS virus costume, that would be kind of impressive. Because you'd have to get the weird hexagonal, like...
I would have to fucking laugh.
Those little plushy things that Zia was giving out, they have an AIDS one?
I don't think they have an AIDS one.
I think they wouldn't, because that would be horrible, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah. They had a herpes one.
I have,
chlamydia, I think.
I have one, yeah. it's herpes. Eyes. It's like, I gave you herpes. Oh, how cute. This little plush virus.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've edited that and don't be a Nazi for kids, now we can say goodnight.
Yes, get the zinc highlight out of here. And big balls.